Okay, so the last perek in Malachim Aleph. Vayishu shalosh shanim in milchama bein Aram uvein Yisrael. So after the last week, where we discussed the war between Aram and Yisrael, where they let him go, there is a lull. There was a lull for 3 years. The academics claim that the most likely reason that there was this lull for 3 years, and this explains sort of the end of last week as well, right? We were trying to figure out why Ahav, after everything, had mercy on Ben-Hadad, and we said part of it is like class unity, right? He didn't want to kill another king, and that's the problem, but there is more to it. What the academics claim is that at the time, there was a temporary truce formed between Yisrael and Aram, because as much as they fought between each other, when a new enemy arises and they need to join an alliance, so you put aside your differences. And at the time, Shalmaneser III had just arisen to power and was threatening to take over the region from Ashur, coming in from the north. So Aram and Yisrael make a temporary alliance. And then 3 years in, that threat is averted, and once the threat of Shalmaneser is not present, so it's time for the Jews and Aram to pick up on their war. So, Vayi Bashana Shlishid, Vayir Yoshavad Melech Yudah, Melech Yisrael. And then suddenly we hear that at that time, not only does Ahav have this powerful this powerful nation, which, you know, all on and off is either fighting with Ben-Hadad or has an alliance with him. But it turns out that Ahav also has an alliance with Yehuda, right? Even though they're still two separate kingdoms, Yehuda and Yisrael have an alliance, and Yehoshaphat comes to Ahav. Vayomer melech Yisrael olav adav, hayidatem kilonu ramot agilad, v'anachnu machshim mikacharotam mi'ad melech Aram. So the king of Yisrael said to his courtiers, don't you know that we own Ramot Gilad, and yet we do nothing to take it back from the king of Aram? So Vayomer el Yoshafat, atelechi tila melchama Ramot Gilad. Vayomer Yoshafat el melech Yisrael, kamoni chamoch chami chamecha kesusecha. So Ahav asked Yoshafat, and he says, will you go with me to war? Right? We'll make a regional alliance, and we'll wage war against Aram and drive them out of Ramot Gilad. And Yoshafat said, sure, right, I'm like you. My nation is your nation. My horses are your horses. Let's go. And Chazal, right, we'll see that Yehoshaphat himself is a very righteous king, but the one thing that Chazal criticized him for, and the Psukim really criticized him for, is that he has this alliance running with Ahav. But in the meantime, he says, sure, Vayomer Yehoshaphat melech Yisrael, drosh nachayom et dvar Adonai. But Yehoshaphat tells the king, but before...
Yehoshaphat was a descendant of David.
David, right, he's Melech Yehuda. He's Asa's son. So his father, Asa, we saw, was relatively righteous, as things go. And his son is also righteous. He follows the ways of his father, Asa. And he's a worthy heir to the Davidic dynasty. So Yehoshaphat says, look, but before we go, we have to inquire of God. We have to ask the Navi, we have to ask, Navi Hashem, whether it's proper to go to war. Vaikbot melech Yisrael et hanevi'im karba meod ish. Vayomer aleihem ha'aleich aramot gilad l'milchamayim echdal vayomru alei v'itein Adonai biyad ha'melech. So the king of Israel gets 400 prophets of Hashem and says, should we fight Ramot Gilad or not? And they said, go, and Hashem will deliver it into your hand.
I guess an arm of 400 is...
So 400 usually means... Correct.
400 were killed, and now 400...
Right, so 400 is usually an exaggerated number. But what's interesting here is that these are not true prophets.
They're not true prophets.
They're not true. Well, we're going to see. They're not true. But they're Nevi Hashem. Meaning, Ahav is no longer asking for Nevi Baal and Asherah. He is asking for Nevi Hashem or political lackeys, right? These aren't, as we'll see, they're not going to be... Well, we'll see. Their prophecy is not true. Whether they are liars or not is unclear. But they're definitely not true. So there is some sort of weird relationship that Ahav has, right? He really wants Nevi'im who are just going to be yes men, right? Nevi'im function in that period, right, as we've seen, as the media, right? Right, and you know, you have the pro king media. They're the ones who say, yeah, you know, they're the political commentators that are whatever. They're all those people, and he just wants yes men. So, but he's not as bad as he was before. I mean, even if these are yes men, they're not real Nevi'im. Though that's not clear again, and we'll see why. What's clear is that he's seeking at Nevi'i Hashem, right? He's no longer seeking Nevi'i HaBaal, which is a step up. And this is part of the complicated relationship we have with Achav in general, which we've seen over and over again, right? Where on the one hand, Chazal say he has no Chilek Nam Haba, on the other hand, they say maybe he was righteous, he did do tshuva at some point. But Yehoshaphat hears this. Vayomer Yehoshaphat, Ein po Navi l'Adonai od v'nidrasha me'oto. Is there nobody else? Right? Something's off here. And the Rambam right, explains why there's something off here. Right? The Rambam says that in general, prophets don't get words from God. Right? With the exception of Moshe, Hashem doesn't put the words that the Navi says in his mouth. He gives him a vision, and then the Navi has to interpret it and put it into words, which is why each Navi sort of, you know, call it Navi b'signon shelo, everyone says it in his own way. But that means that if you have 400 people saying the same things, it's not real, right? It's just, I mean, it can't be, right? If God didn't put the words in his mouth, he just gives him a vision, even if they all said the same thing, they were all getting the same message across, it wouldn't be in the exact same way. If they're saying the same way, it has to be planned. I mean, it sounds like these are just, the simplest understanding is that these are fake Nevi'i Hashem. They're just, you know, they're yes men. They say, okay, we prophesize in the name of God, they're believers. But that's going to be called into question. We're going to see. That might not be the case, but that's at least the simplest understanding. And Yehoshaphat hears this, and he says there's something very odd going on, right? It's not right that everyone should say the exact same thing. Vayomer melech Yisrael Yehoshaphat, Odi shechad ledrosh Adonai me'oto, v'ani senetiv, ki lo yinabe alai tova, ki yimra, v'chayav v'nimla, v'ani Yehoshaphat, al yomar ha-melech kein. So Achav says, look, there is one other Navi, but I hate him. He never says anything nice about me. Right? No, he doesn't actually. He means Michayahu, right? It's another Navi, Michayahu. Where Eliyahu is in this story is a good question. I don't know, because he's alive. So is Elisha.
Just was mentioned here.
Yeah, he's alive. And he's still going to be alive in Malcolm Bet, and so is Elisha. But this is not the case. These are neither of them. This is Michayahu ben Yimla. But you see, right, Achav isn't looking for real Nevuah. Right, he's looking for yes men, and he says, "Look, I you know, Benny Lau always compares this to the Tikshiret, right? To the all the media." He said, "Right, there's the real social critics, and then there are the people who are just on staff and are paid to say nice things, or they just do it so that you know the president will give them interviews or whatever." And he says, "Look, yeah, there's one other guy who's a Navi Hashem. I like these 400 because they always tell me what I want to hear. There's one guy, no matter what happens, he hates me. He'll always prophesize bad for me." And Yehoshaphat says, shh, you can't say that, right? That's not how you talk. Because Yehoshaphat is more, Achav may be going through some tshuva, but Yehoshaphat is a real tzaddik. He's a real righteous king, and he just doesn't, you know, he's like, no. If the Navi says it, it's not just because he doesn't like you.
Like, the Tanakh doesn't say that they are Nevi'i Hashem. Yehoshaphat suggests that they should go ask Nevi'i Hashem.
Right.
He just collects 400 Nevi'im, but he doesn't...
So we'll see that they are... Right, it doesn't call them Nevi'i Hashem. They're not Nevi'i HaBaal. Right? I mean, they are Nevi'i... They're Nevi'im who claim to be Hashem.
It's just Nevi'im.
But they claim to be Nevi'i Hashem, right? They aren't idolatrous. They're just, you know, not true. So Vayikra Melech Yisrael Saris Echad Vayomer Mahara Michayu Venimla. So Achav is forced by Yehoshaphat, and he says, "Okay, fine. Someone go bring Michayu." Umelech Yisrael v'Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda Yoshvim Ish Al Kiso Melubashim Begadim Begorin Petach Shar Shomron V'Chol Anivim Mitnabim Lefnehem. So the king of Israel and Yehoshaphat. Now this is interesting, right? Because Achav is not named here, right? The whole perek, Achav is never named. Yehoshaphat is named, but Achav is so powerful, right? He's not named. He's just Melech Yisrael. He's just the king. Right? Even Yehoshaphat, he's the secondary king in this story, so he gets a name because it's going to flip, right? This is setting him up. But in the meantime, they're all sitting there. in Shomron, the gates of Shomron, on their thrones. I mean, all these Nevi'im are prophesying. Vayas lo tzidkiya ben kina'ana karnei barzel vayomar ko amar adonai be'ile tinagachet aramat kalotam. And then tzidkiya ben chananya takes iron horns. Now iron is the iron horns, right? The karnayim, the sword, are the symbol of Ephraim, right? So he'll take these horns and we will gore Aram. Now this is part of like a Navi tradition of not just speaking what you're doing, but acting it out, right? You have all these, right? Yirmiyahu does it, Yeshayahu does it, right? Like, you know, all different types of things. Walking around naked as if he's in captivity. All different types of things. Now, one reason you might do that is just to make a point, right? You act it out, you don't just speak it. The Ramban thinks that's not the case. The Ramban thinks that doing an act has some sort of spiritual force on the world. And it by not just saying it, by doing something, it makes the nevuah more real in some metaphysical way that I don't understand. But that actually becomes important in practice, because some of the achronim say that the reason that we do all these simanim on Rosh Hashanah, the reason the Gemara says that simanim are important, is because of this notion that doing something symbolic is more powerful than a tefillah alone. So that's what Zidkiyahu does. He does this act. And he says, we're going to gore Aram. V'chol ha-Nevi'im nivin kein, le'mor. Alei remora gilad v'hatzlach v'natana adonai b'yaram melech. And all the Nevi'im are prophesying as such. Go up to remote gilad and be successful because God has given it to the king. V'amalach asher alach l'kro michyahu diber elav, le'mor. Hineina divrei Nevi'im pe'achad, tov el ha-melech. Yina dvarcha chedvar achad mehem v'dibar tatov. So the messenger tells Michyahu and he says, look, all the Nevi'im are speaking favorably about the king. Just do me a favor. Say the same thing, right? It's clear. Right? It's not like a. It's not a false Navi in the sense of Navi Abal. It's just not sincere, right? Don't ruin the show, right? Everyone. Don't be the odd man out. Don't be the question. Everyone's saying it. Just go along with it. So Vayomer Michyahu Chai Adonai Ki Asher Yomar Adonai Elai Oto Adaber. He says, I swear by God, I'll say the truth. So he comes to the king. So he says to Michyahu, yeah, he says the exact same words. Said, yeah, go be successful, go ahead. And he realizes he's making fun of him, right? He said, you're playing with me. You never say anything nice about me. This is a joke. Right? If I know that if you're coming, you have to be saying something mean about me. I can't believe that you would say what everyone said. I adjure you, only tell me the truth from God. So now he set him up. Vayomer. He said, oh, you want the truth, do you? Okay, fine. I'll give you the truth. He says, you know what I see? I see all of Israel scattered in the mountains like sheep without a shepherd, because you're going to die, and they won't have a leader, and they'll all panic. And God is saying, there is no master for them. Let everybody go home. Let everyone go home safely. And that's really what I see. I told you. Every time I call him, it's always bad. But Michyahu isn't done. And now he really makes fun of him. And he says, Vayomer. Let me tell you what's really going on. Because I saw a vision that God was sitting on his throne. And all the soldiers of heaven are standing before him on his right and his left. Meaning you were sitting in your throne. Well, while you're sitting in your throne, God is sitting on his throne. You know what's happening? This is like a very cynical, right? This is a very cynical continuation. He says, Vayomer Adonai, mi fatercha vayal vayipo beramot gilad, vayomer ze becho vezeh amar becho. And he says, so God is sitting there and he says to all his advisors, who is going to seduce Achav, entice Achav to go to war so that he'll die there? Right? Who's going to do it? Vayitze haruach. Vayamod lefin Adonai vayomar ani afatenu. Vayomar Adonai alav bama. And the wind, the spirit came out and said to Hashem, I got it. I have it covered. I will trick him. So God says, okay, well, what's your plan? How are you going to get Achav to go to his death? Vayomer, etse, vayiti ruach sheker befi chol neviyav. Vayomer tifate, vegam tuchal, tse vaasechein. And the spirit says, I'm going to go and I'm going to trick all, I'm going to put a spirit in the mouth of all of his neviyim to tell him to go to war. And this is when you get a bit confused, because it's not clear, right? It's not clear that these are false neviyim, right? Because the way Michyahu is telling it is that there's a spirit coming from heaven that's actively tricking the prophets as well. So it's not totally clear, right, whether... It's not clear from here. You could read this in two ways. You could say that either Michyahu is just making fun of them, right? And he's saying that they're all pretending, right? And it's... And that's what God wants, is that he should have a bunch of yes men who will trick him. Or he's saying, look, these are 400 fine Nevi'im, right? It's not their fault, but God is actively giving them false Nevuah, which is a very problematic theological notion, that Hashem would trick them. But that's what calls this into question. Like, what exactly are they? Are they just yes men, or are they actual Nevi'im that Hashem, for some reason, is going out of his way to trick?
He says, the Nevi'ei Sheker.
So, right, so it... You know, but it's, you know, and that's what's totally, you know, not totally clear. My inclination is to say that what this is they're just false. And, you know, it's a mashal. He's saying the way I'm going to trick them is going to make him overconfident, because his Nevi'ei Sheker are all going to say the same thing. They're all going to say he's going to win.
Do you believe that they agreed upon themselves what they're going to respond?
Either explicitly or just, you know, this is what they did for a living.
He wants to hear this. Let's tell him whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. You know, they're used to it.
But if you listen to... this, then it wasn't their fault, because...
Right, but he's going to ignore Michyahu.
I think the whole thing with Dalton Avir is really...
Yes, I really...
I mean, it almost, you can't blame the guy, because you really don't know what...
Oh, that is exactly what's going on here. And they're totally... Even Yehoshaphat, right? Yehoshaphat is the righteous king, is totally confused by this point, right? Because... Imagine getting that nevuah, right? We have 401 nevi'im or whatever who are all claiming to be Nevi'i Hashem. 400 of them say go fight, and the other one says God is tricking you. It's like I have no idea what's going on, right? And this is what happens. They're totally confused. But that's the point, right? Michyahu has said Hashem is trying to trick you. He's trying to confuse you. He wants you to go to war because he wants you to die.
But a nevi has to meet certain criteria.
Correct. And how you get to this, right? I assume they didn't, right? I assume. Right, I mean, these are false prophets, but
I thought there was an...
Yeah, there were schools, but to be a certified Navi, you know.
Maybe they failed the course.
Or who knows. So he...
He's going, he wants to get the right guy, and he's not getting
the... Yeah, it's weird.
But how many years ago did... What's her name? Isabel kill all those Nevi'i Hashem?
A few years ago.
That's what I'm saying. So how are there so
they
many?
Just get, I mean, because like
maybe they had the fast class or fast course.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, yeah, that's what it is. It's
that's
like
why 401. Yeah.
I'm saying it's like you know, it's like with journalists, right? You have like real investigative journalists, and then you have the people who are like, you know, most, let's say, local news, right? They don't do investigative journalism. They don't have the money. They don't have the funds, right? They just. They're not journalists, they're...
News.
Yeah, they're a TV personality, and they get the news from the Associated Press, right? That's what these are, right? They get it...
And they read it.
Yeah, they all read the same thing, right? That's exactly what this is, you know, Benny Lau, besides the fact that his father was a journalist, right? That was, you know, he likes using that muscle, but it's true, like, that's how you imagine it. The Nevi'im, there's, like, the real Nevi'im, who are, like, the harsh social critics, who are, like, the investigative journalists who are trying to uproot corruption, and then there's, like... You know, the people who, whatever, they want to ingratiate themselves with the politicians or whoever, and they just say what people want to say, and they take stuff off the Associated Press, and whatever's easy and what's popular, and whatever. And he says, so then Michyahu turns to the Nevi'im, and he says, Vayta, hinei natan alei ruach sheker ufi kol nevi'echa. Eila, vadonai diber alecha ra. He said, look, this is what happened. The lying spirit's in the mouth of all your Nevi'im, and Hashem is just doing this to decree disaster on you.
There's only one way to find out.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Vaygash Tzidkiyo ben Kenana vayaken Michyahu al Alechi vayomer Eiza avar ruach Adonai meiti ledaber otach. And he, so Zidkiah ben Chananiah is furious. So he takes and he slaps Michiah on the cheek and he says, right, how dare you, right? Who says the Spirit of God left me to speak with you, right? Who are you to say that my nevuah is God tricking me and yours is real?
So they really felt that they said the truth.
Well, sir, and that's the question, right, is that how false are they, right? Is it that they're like actively trying to lie or they're just like... You know, and the thing, it's the same thing with journalists, right? Some journalists, for sure, are trying to distort the truth. But a lot of them are just like, let's not look too much into it.
Trump. Yeah. Trump is going to tell you all the media.
Yeah, or false. But like, you know, the people...
He wouldn't have trusted yes. the
phone. Correct. But on the other end, he has his Fox and friends and whatever. And like, you know, whatever he says, they're just like, oh, okay. You know, are they trying to lie or they just like him? It's like, okay, you know, whatever he says, he said. Like, you know, there's a certain level at which... You have tinted glasses on, and whatever side you want to win, so you see everything through those. And that's what he says to him. So he says, "Vayomer Michiah incha roeh vayomahu asher tavo cheder becheder leichaveh." He says, "You find out, right? You'll find out what happens when you see when you try to hide in the innermost room. Like, look who in the end is going to be scared. Fine." He said, take Michio, give it over to Amon, to the governor, and to Prince Yoash. And they said, imprison him until, and give him only minimal amount of water and bread until I come home in peace. Right? Right? He's it's treason, put him away. Right, he said, fine. He said, if you come back in peace, then you'll know I'm false. I'm not expecting you. He's like, and he says, listen, everybody, right, listen up. Meaning, right, so Vayal Melech Yisrael, and you see that Yoshaphat, who's the righteous king, is also totally baffled. Because he just continues, goes to war, right? He's not convinced. He doesn't know what to do. It's not like it's clear to him. And it's true, there's an active attempt to confuse them. Vayal Melech Yisrael veYoshaphat Melech Yehuda Ramot Gilad.
I mean, Yoshaphat should have really called Eliyahu.
Right, and that's the funny thing. Is Eliyahu, Elisha, they're like off wherever they are. I don't know where they are, right? They're off somewhere.
But if he wasn't sure, then why didn't he try to find out? He just went.
So who knows where he is, right? Eliyahu travels around, right? This story seems to take place. You know, Eliyahu, Elisha, I don't know. They're off training somewhere. Yeah, they're not. Yeah, they didn't bring their cell phone, right? They're off. They went off the grid. Yeah, they went off the grid. They're whatever. So Vayomer Melech Yisrael Yoshaphat, Hidchapeis Tuvav Vimilchama Vata Levash Begadech Vidchapeis Melech Yisrael Vimilchama. So he says, disguise yourself in battle, but you wear your robes. So Achav is disguised, and Yoshaphat is dressed as king. Umelech Aram Tzivat Sarei Rechav Asher Lo Shloshim Ushnayim Lemor Lo Tachamot Katon Ved Gadol Kimei Melech Yisrael Levado. So the king of Aram tells his 32 chariot officers, don't bother attacking anybody, just the king.
He's really right? nice after he let him go.
Exactly, right?
I mean, how can I get me down?
But this is what we pointed out before, right? Is that letting the king go is the only way to really win is to kill the king, is regicide. And so when he didn't kill Ben-Hadad, he gave up victory. Now Ben-Hadad's like, well, you're an idiot, right? It's my turn. And he says, just find the king. Now the irony of this whole thing is that Yoshaphat is dressed as the king and Achav is dressed as a regular person because he knows that Ben-Hadad is out for him. So that's exactly what happens. They see Yoshaphat and they chase him because they say, oh, it's the king. They run after him. So they chase him. But as they're getting closer, they realize... It's a ruse, right? That's not the king. That's just Melech Yehuda. I don't care about Melech Yehuda, right? He's the secondary king here. This is just a, right? Or I don't even know if they know, right? I don't know if he's the secondary king, so they bother killing him, or they think it's just some random person dressed up because they don't realize that Yehuda is involved, but they realize that it's not Achav, so they just forget it, right? This is just pathetic. And then, in an embarrassing move, right, instead of having at least the glory of being killed in an active assassination attempt, he dies by accident. Vayaked Melech Yisrael ben Advakim uven Ashir Yan vayomer l'Rakavo hafoch yad chavotzinu min vachaneki yechaleiti. So a guy is just on the side doing bow and arrow practice, and he pulls a bow, and it happens to hit him in the one hole in his armor. Right, this is the irony of the whole thing. Right, he just shoots; he's not even aiming, and he hits him between the plates of his armor. Right, normally to hit someone before the plate of the armor, you need a sharpshooter. Right? And here, what happens is that Hashem wants it to be as embarrassing as possible for Achav to die. So here, instead of being assassinated, being killed in an act of war, a guy is practicing, shoots an arrow into the air, and the arrow happens to penetrate the disguised Achav in the one his one vulnerable place. And he says to his charioteer, "So turn the horse around and get me behind the lines. I'm wounded." So the battle goes on all day long, and the king remains propped up on the chariot facing Aram. Right, the Jews know who he is. Right, Aram doesn't realize who he is, but he props himself up, and there's blood from the wounds running into the chariot all day. And this is the right. Chazal praised this act of Achav because what Achav does is he might have been able to save himself if he'd fled and went to a doctor, but he knew that if they saw him die or saw him flee, they would panic. So he decided that he would die, but he wouldn't let anyone know he was dying. So at least they would buy a few hours where people would still have courage. So he has someone prop him up while he's bleeding out and dying, but this way people will still see him. And that's what he does. And again, Chazal praise it, that there is that this selflessness in it. And it, you know, he doesn't die until dusk. But as the sun went down, a shout went out to the army, every man home, every man to his district, because they realized that Achav died. But this is what the Navi had said, right? That Hashem wanted Achav to die, but he didn't necessarily want the Jews to die. So Achav remains alive, right? Keeps himself alive until night, so the Jews are still able to maintain the battle, not flee. And then at nightfall, right? You know, battles during night doesn't continue, couldn't see, right? Then they realize he's dead, and everyone goes home, so that there isn't mass casualties, right? So Achav dies, but the Jews are somewhat spared.
So they did not conquer?
They didn't conquer, but they also didn't get demolished, right? Which was what Hashem said, right? I'll make it that Achav dies. Vayomar Hamelech, Vayavo Shomron, Vayikbaru, and Hamelech beShomron. So the king dies, and he's brought to Shomron, and they bury him in Shomron. Vayishtofir Arechev al Berkat Shomron, Vayalo Kol Klavim Medamavaz, and Rachatzuk Yisvar Adonai Sher Diber. And then they clean off the chariot. You know, they hose it down, and as Hashem said, his blood pours out, and the dogs lap up the blood, and the zonot bathe in it, which is what Hashem had said, right? Because it goes out into the river, or whatever, you know. The rest of what Achav, what happened to Achav, and everything, and his whole kingdom, and his ivory palace that he built, and the towns he'd fortified, are written on the Divrei Hayamim Umachei Yisrael. Veishkav Achav Motav Imloch Achazio Beno Tachtav. So he dies, and his son Achazio takes control. And you see that Achav, you know, this is something we've seen over and over, is that Achav is a very complicated figure, right? He is, on the one hand, he's a major political figure, and religiously, he has his ups and downs, right? I mean, again, Chazal, in one place, say that he has no chilek in Olma Haba, because he is pretty bad. On the other hand, he has this working relationship with Nevi Hashem, or at least, at this point, wants to be talking to Nevi Hashem, even if he doesn't quite know what that is, and he's a bit self-centered, and he only wants yes men. But on the other hand, he cares very much about the people, right? He lets himself die rather than, you know, than save himself but have the battle be lost. He keeps himself propped up in pain, bleeding out during the day to save the morale of the Jewish people so they manage to get through the day and then basically get home safely, if not victorious. And that brings us to the end of Achav's reign. Now, the Malachim Aleph Bet thing is weird, right? Because this is the last. Now there's only 10 Pesukim left to Malachim Aleph, even though it's not Achav anymore, it's Yoshafat, really probably we'll just take this with Perek Aleph of Melachim Bet. The Christians divided up the book, right? This is not the book. If you were going to divide it up, this is not the logical place to divide it up. It makes no sense at this point. It makes no sense because the next 10 psukim or so are Yoshafat plus Achaziah, and Perek Aleph of Melachim Bet is Achaziah. Eliyahu and Elisha are both in the Nevi'im at the end of Melachim Aleph and the beginning of Melachim Bet, right? I mean, Melachim is one big book. But even if you were going to divide the books, this is a very random place. It's a random place to have a perek break. It's a random place to divide the book. Really, the logical end of the story is where we just ended, right? This is the end of Achav's life. Yoshafat is half part of Achav's life and half part of Achaziel's life. I guess next week, Perek Aleph of Malchim Bet is much shorter than just the first 40 psukim of Malchim.
Should you go out for dinner?
We went out for dinner.